Park CSD special board meeting, February 25th, 2026, at 7 p.m. Could you please call the roll?
Director Wilson?
Present.
Director Gilchrist?
Present.
Director Bazette?
Present.
Director Israel?
Present.
Okay.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Silence to honor our service members, military, law enforcement, fire, and emergency personnel. Our first item of business is adoption of the agenda. Did we have any questions from the board regarding the agenda? Okay. Do we have any comments from the public regarding the agenda? Seeing nothing. Do we have a motion?
I move that we accept the agenda as placed in print.
I will second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? Okay. Agenda is adopted. So moving on to public comment, we allow public comment on items that are not on the agenda. So if anybody out in the audience wishes to address the board on something that's not on the agenda, now is the time. Okay. Seeing nothing, we will move on to general business. Item 1, approve resolution 2026-07, approving an updated salary schedule, establishing the operations manager classification, removing the parks and facility supervisor classification, and amending the fiscal year 25-26 positions and authorizations document.
I will take that, board. As you recall, a number of months ago, you approved a job description, which was the operations manager position. At that time, we did not seek authorization to fund or give any allocation to that position. But we are here today asking for that allocation and funding that position. You have the salary schedule, which has been changed, so we removed the parks and facility supervisor position, which was not an exempt position. This position, the operations manager position, is an exempt position. And so we're requesting that you approve this position, not only to approve the position, but also to rescind the other job description. We'll be pulling that one off. We're not going to delete it. It's just going to be pulled off. We'll hold it. It will no longer be authorized. But the operations manager position will be authorized. You'll see the date, the effective date, I put that as March 22nd, which is when I will be leaving you all, and Mr. Hornstra will be stepping in, and we're hoping to have that operations manager position filled by then. We hope we'll try to do that. So with that, there's been lots of discussion on this. We put all the documents, we brought back the org chart as well, so all of that is in your packet. I'll stop right there unless you have any questions.
All right, do you have any questions?
I do not.
Okay, do we have any public comment regarding the adoption of the operations manager position? Okay. Bringing it back to the board, do we have a motion on item number 1?
I just have a comment.
Yes.
I think it's really a smart move to have a person both in charge of facilities and parks, and I think it's an appropriate
Yeah, and this individual will be in charge of facilities, parks. They'll basically be the number two.
And recreation as well.
And recreation, that's correct. Right. Okay. They'll create succession planning for us.
Okay, I will motion that we approve resolution number 2026-07, approving an updated salary schedule, establishing the operations manager classification, removing the parks and facilities supervisor classification, and amending the fiscal year 2025-26 positions and authorization.
I second the motion.
Do we need a roll call on this?
Yeah. Director Wilson?
Aye.
Director Gilchrist?
Aye.
Director Bazette?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you, directors.
Okay, so moving on to item two. Approve resolution number 2026-08, approving an amendment to the fire services agreement to modify position classifications and provide staffing flexibility at stations 88 and 89.
Okay, I'll take this one, and I'll ask Chief Richards if there's any questions to help in and assist. But this, again, is another carryover from our last board meeting. And so we got a good presentation on what we're trying to do, which is to add some flexibility with respect to staffing at Station 88 and 89. Not always, but in this case, our total contract not to exceed amount actually goes down. So that's a benefit to the district should we get to that point. So with that, this is definitely supported by staff as well as the fire department. It gives them some flexibility as it relates to staffing. And I do want to make it perfectly clear that our engines will remain ALS with a paramedic on there at all times. So there's no change to that. It just gives them a little bit more flexibility. Chief, do you have anything to add?
No, I think just to kind of echo what you said, that if we look at, we have 12 total personnel. Four of them are captains, eight of them are engineers. Of those collective 12, there's eight paramedics. We're just looking to take one of the paramedic attributes, if you will, of one of those employees and move it from an engineer to a captain.
If you don't have any questions, that is all we have. You received the presentation at your last board meeting, and staff does report, support approving this.
All right. Do we have any questions before I take it out to the public?
None, no.
All right. Do we have any public comment about item number two? Okay. Seeing none, bring it back to the board. Any comments?
I think it's... I haven't mentioned it tonight, but it's important to just reaffirm the difficulty that our fire services are having in attracting these types of positions. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that's getting more and more of an issue for us. And so it's something that I appreciate Cal Fire's, you know, looking to be flexible and being able to keep us staffed and through these issues. So,
good point.
And I would just, my comment is the paramedic is a higher level of training and better, higher service for our community. So
absolutely,
we want to maximize those paramedics as much as we can. So I'm glad that you made that adjustment. I highly recommend it.
All right, thank you. Do we have any more comments and or a motion?
I'll move to approve resolution 2608, approving an amendment to the fire services agreement to modify position classifications and provide staffing flexibility at stations 88 and 89.
Second that motion.
Okay, could you call the roll, please?
Director Wolfson?
Aye.
Director Gilchrist?
Aye.
Director Bazette?
Aye.
And Director Israel?
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay, going on to item number three, appoint a candidate to the board vacancy. So,
all right, I will kick us off on this one, and Madam Chair, if you're good with it, I'll just kind of give the process and everything and kind of take it off your shoulders if you're good with that.
Sure.
I thought you might like that. Okay, so we'll welcome our candidates, and so where we're at tonight, the way it's going to work is the candidates are going to each arrive. You'll pull a number from, I says hat, but it's not a hat because we had a cup. Not a hat. More professional here. So you'll pull a number from the cup. We're going to ask you to kind of play musical chairs as we did when we were kids, and we'll line up in those positions because your questions are going to correspond with each one of those, okay? So we'll pull that here shortly. You want to do that now? We'll do that now. Okay. There you go. cleaned up, by the way.
We're not part of dinner.
Yeah. All right. What numbers did you receive?
Two.
Number one. So one, you received two?
Yeah.
Don't move. Did we shake that up?
I think we need a recount.
You can't plan that any better than that. Perfect. Right? So each candidate will be called in order to provide an opening statement and answer questions from each board member. Questions will be the same for each candidate. So that means we will call the number one candidate and you will give us an opening statement. And then when you're done, you'll sit down, and then the number two candidate, and then the number three candidate, same thing. And then we'll go back. Once that's concluded, we'll go back to the board, and they all have some questions for you. And so we'll start with number one, number one, number one, and then we'll change it up. The second question will be one, two, three, and then you'll get the first question for the third.
Okay.
Does that make sense, everybody? Okay. Let's see. After the candidates have all interviewed, the candidates will provide your closing statement. It's not required, but if you want to give a closing statement, we'll do the same order. One, two, and three as a closing statement. Public testimony, if any, will occur after the interview. So that's your opportunity to say what you like. And I know you will. Thank you. Sorry, I'm off the hook tonight. If a selection is made, swearing in of a new board member will occur at that time. So we're doing everything tonight. So we'll know tonight, we'll swear in tonight. That's kind of the way it's going to work, okay? So, any questions from anybody? Okay.
Okay, so... All right.
Do you want me to continue? I'll start that, or you want to read that?
I'll read it.
Okay.
All right, so welcome and thank you for attending our special board meeting designed to interview applicants for one vacant Cameron Park Community Services Board position. The vacancy expires December 4th, 2026. We will be interviewing three applicants tonight. Each applicant will be allowed a 5-minute opening statement and a 2-minute closing statement. We'll rotate the order in which you are each asked a question. When the red time clock comes on, you have 30 seconds to wrap up. The board clerk will be the timer, and just please be considerate of the other applicants and keep your answers to 3 minutes. Okay, so starting with number one, if you could please provide your opening statement.
Okay, should we stand, sit? What's our...
Stand so that our audience can see as well. Yes.
Hello, audience. my name is J.R. Hitchborn. Lived at Cameron Park for 38 years. I've been in the park and recs industry for 27 years. 18 of those years were spent here at the Cameron Park CSD. So started in the recreation division, worked my way to seasonal park maintenance. By the time I left here, I was your park superintendent. Loved this place. Eldorado Hills offered me a lot of money, and I made a choice, which I thought was best for my family at the time. Eldorado Hills was not everything I thought it would be, so I ended up in Sacramento, so I now am the park superintendent for the Mission Oaks Recreation Park District down in the Carmichael, Sacramento area. Our operating budget is about $9.8 million, and I oversee about $5.5 million of those. We have 15 parks. I've got 8 direct report staff, and I have 6 seasonal staff that work for me throughout the year, my weekend and night staff, and we have... And we have 2 community centers, a maintenance shop, preschool, and firehouse, which we operate maintenance out of, not a fire department. So, that's me, and that's kind of what I bring to this community. I was really, I ran for the board last time because I was upset the way things were going. Summer Spectacular is a personal thing for me. I was there for the very first one. A guy named Paul Ryan started it, and I believe it's attached to his legacy. So that losing traction really, really hit hard for me. Since then, I think you guys have done a phenomenal job of backfilling positions. I don't want to toot your horn too much, but that was an excellent hire with Mo, and I've just seen things get better and better and better, and I think that Summer Spectacular this last year looked like it was supposed to, and so that was very impressive for me. So, that being said, instead of an angry me running for the board, now you have a positive me, and I think that's really what I do bring to the table. I'm a very positive guy, and I do think I bring people up around me, so that's me.
All right, thank you.
So, hi everyone, my name is Sean Collis. I've been here for about 5 years. I am a CPA by trade, so I've been a CPA officially for 8 years. I've been doing tax and accounting for about 12 years. I'm honestly running here because I enjoy this community when I was looking for a place to live, this place was just, it had a beautiful charm. It reminded me of where I wanted to live when I was younger. What I want to actually accomplish if I am chosen to be a part of the board is to continue the values that I do see here in Cameron Park. And one of them is just being neighborly. I do see people that I barely know, and it's like we can start a conversation as if we hadn't talked in a while, but then we become good friends. I want to actually continue the balanced budget that the board has actually already done and actually provide my experience and expertise as an accountant and CPA to continue that. And to also look for sustainable like operating revenue. So I do think that's important for our area, is having actually more revenue to be able to fund services, especially the things that our current residents need, but also to plan for the future when our residents are eventually going to evolve. I mean, we're expanding, their population is growing, so we're going to have more like diverse backgrounds, people from other areas coming in, people being born. So I want to be able to actually be a part of that going forward. Just a little bit more about me. I'm also involved in a Rotary, Cameron Parks Rotary. I'm the treasurer there, and I'm also a treasurer for the foundation side of Rotary, where we handle scholarships for students here in Cameron Park. On top of that, I'm involved in VITA, so you may be seeing me in the next couple months. But yeah, my whole thing is just being able to give back to the community I live in. I'm where I am today because I got help from people, and I want to continue that going forward and help anyone I can, wherever they are. And so, I mean, since I live in Cameron Park, that's where my focus will be. So thank you so much for even considering me and listening to my little spiel.
Thank you.
And I feel like kind of let's make a deal. Door number 3.
I have lived in Cameron Park with my family, my two kids, my husband, for 11 years. My husband grew up in this area, so when we got married, we lived in Sacramento, and we knew that we wanted to come back here. He graduated from Ponderosa High School. My in-laws both had companies here, or my father-in-law had a company here. My mother-in-law was a teacher, so this community is just very special to us. When my kids were little, they went to Blue Oak. I served on the PTA board as president, vice president, and parliamentarian, so I was on the board for 5 years. I loved that. It was so fun being a part of everything that they did, and the reason I did that role was because I decided that when my kids were in school, I wanted to make them get the best experience possible, and there's no other way to do that besides volunteering, so that's what I did. I also have been a hairstylist for 23 years. I was a shareholder in Marabou Salons in Folsom, California for the last 5 years. Unfortunately, the owners decided to close their doors recently, and that's totally fine. But I'm also a business coach for salons across the state, so I help with financial planning and just growth in their businesses, and that's kind of it work-wise. I didn't prepare anything because this is all just like off guard, but anyway, that's just kind of it. We moved to Cameron Park, like I said, because it's a small community. It's special. Obviously, you all know Cameron Park is special, but we just really wanted to raise our kids in a small town. Over the course of the last 11 years, we have seen some growth, and that's wonderful. I don't ever want it to become a huge, big place, but I do think growth is always good. So I think that a board like this could definitely point it in the right direction to have that growth, and I think you are doing a fine job with that. But I would just like to possibly be a part of that if you'll have me. Anyway, that's it.
Thank you.
Okay, going to JR with question number 1. Could you please describe your background and experience and explain why you're interested in serving on the Cameron Park CSD Board of Directors?
So everything
I know, right?
That might be cool.
Yeah, so 27 years experience in Parks and Recreation.
18 years of those with the Cameron Park CSD. I left out after I did not win the last board position. I had the ability to help out with the district on a maintenance capacity on the weekends and on the evenings, sometimes when I had free time, with cleaning up the parks, cleaning up garbage, helping out with irrigation, things like that. One of the things that I would come to the meetings and complain about was that there was no weekend staff, so the bathrooms would get destroyed on Friday, and they would stay that way until Monday, and so that bothered me. And I could either come here and keep yelling about it, or I could ask to help out. So I chose to help out. I think that says a lot about how much I do care about this community. I'm familiar with board meetings because I've been going to them I've been superintendent for over 10 years now. So this environment is not unfamiliar or challenging. Same with committee meetings. I think that we could maybe do a little bit more with our committee meeting things that we do here. It should be more of a workshop and less like a miniature board meeting. I would love to get on the Parks and Rec Committee. I think that's where I could really make a huge impact and bring value to this board. And that's my experience.
Thank you. So, Sean, same question. Please describe your background and experience and explain why you are interested in serving on the Cameron Park CSD Board of Directors.
Well, kind of already explained my experience. Yes, just kind of boiling it down. Financially minded, I'm a professional accountant with a CPA background. I've worked in Ernst & Young, one of the biggest firms in the world, to having my own firm for a few years. And now, even though on my resume it's not there, I just started a tax auditor role at the Franchise Tax Board. So I'll be auditing those big corporations. But why I actually want to be on the board is just, I believe it's my civic duty to be a part of this community more so than I already am. It's how I was raised, to be active and be involved and to do good, not just, you know, put some money somewhere, but to actively be involved. And I started doing that with Rotary, not to join, but to just, I asked the previous president, are there any volunteer opportunities? And she said, why don't you come by for a lunch? And they roped me in, and I went and like, painted the bathrooms at Rasmussen Park before I even joined. I'm a part of a few committees with Rotary. Like, we're planning the, not Summer Spectacular yet, but that was great, but we're doing the county fair like we've done every year, so we're kind of in the process of that. On top of that, I did forget to mention I'm a part of the Architectural Review Committee, so I'm also involved with that and helping out when I can. But I feel like I can actually do more and be more involved here on the board. Since the board is the board position, the board in general, it's like a direct democracy. People get to actually vote you in, you know, if I go beyond this initial appointment, and actually get to hear the needs of everyone and try to help the residents of this community. And I do believe that we can do that. And there are things that we can potentially do to increase our footprint here within Cameron Park, one of which I think is just more communication. I know in the strategic plan there was talk about that, but having more involvement, like an actual like door-to-door campaign, talking about things, getting people involved, I think is going to be very helpful. So yes, just service. Being able to provide service and giving back to this community, helping as many people as possible. Being the good neighbor, essentially. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Amber, please describe your background and experience. Explain why you are interested in serving on the Cameron Park CSD Board of Directors.
I'm interested in serving on the Cameron Park CSD Board of Directors because, again, with PTA, just like when my kids were little, I think that if you want something to be good, you have to contribute. And so that's the reason why. I love this community. I don't see my family moving, and I just want to give back to the community that we love and call home. And through the experience that I have through PTA as president, vice president, parliamentarian, I do have a lot of experience with budgets, fiscal responsibilities, things like that. So I think that that's it.
All right, thank you.
Okay, so now I'm going to start here. A little bit of a long question. What is your understanding of the Cameron Park Community Services District's role and responsibilities in serving the community, and how do you view the board's governance role in working with the general manager and the district staff?
I believe the duty of the CSD is to, well, there's multiple things. I mean, there is the duty to essentially have a sustainable budget.
and that's something that's already been accomplished, but also to meet the needs of the residents by also providing the needed services that also required, but to also provide any actual, like, I would say, like, emergency services as well. One thing that I do applaud the board in getting done is getting us firewise. I have noticed that there's been more talk about getting, like, Zone Zero essentially cleared out from a lot of people. But going back to the main point, it's really to basically provide, like, a two-way communication between the board and the residents to hear what they need and to provide a good way of actually meeting that need. And that's done, again, through these board meetings, but also being able to just go to businesses or just talking to people and just hearing them out. As far as how... Can you repeat the second question?
The second one is, how do you view the board's governance role in working with the general manager and district staff?
I believe it's... The board themselves are basically the mechanism that the operating staff. Sorry, I'm a little nervous.
Good time, you're good.
Calm down.
Take a breath.
So the operating staff, they provide the day to day type of, like, groundwork essentially on how the residents are and, like, how things are being met. They're the essentially the people that provide you this information on what's being accomplished and what's not. They're allowing you to be able to understand if the actual strategy, your vision within for these 4 years are being met. I'm sure you guys out in the community do see things happen, but on the operation side, you get a better understanding, I guess, from a budgetary aspect, but also from a, a strategic point of view. I don't want to say strategic. Operational view, I would say. Making sure, like, for instance, if there's a program that's being run, how successful is it? Is it actually meeting the metrics that are there? That's not something that the board can do, like, for every project, and that's why the staff is there to help kind of guide the board in making decisions.
Thank you. Okay, we'll break it in two for you. So, the first is, what is your understanding of the Cameron Park Community Services District role and responsibility in serving the community?
Well, I think it's to preserve this community and make it better for all of its citizens, providing really great things like sports and, you know, all the little things that the CSD does. I think that that's a great way to build a community and continue to support the growth of this area. I also think that it's important that we keep the citizens safe, right? Like, so with the fire department, things like that, it's just really important that those things are taken into account, obviously, and that's the main goal of CSD.
And then the second part is, how do you view the board's governance role in working with the general manager and district?
I think the board is there to support that role, help provide, with that role, they come to the board and help create, help to get things done, right? So it helps to build momentum, people vote on it, and then things happen so that that role can continue and continue to make the community a better place.
So I think the Cameron Park CSD responsibility is to provide services. Those services include fire, parks, recreation, CCNRs, and I think how they divvy up those responsibilities and how much energy and effort you put to different ones changes based on varying factors. You need to be safe, then you need to be functional, then you need to be sanitary, and then you need to be clean before you can be fun. So all of those things have to take place. Safety has to be our top priority here at the district, and then obviously fire is our biggest safety concern. You know, they're saving lives, but there's other safety things we need to do. All of our playgrounds have, you know, entrapments and protrusions and entanglements. Our surfacing needs to be updated. Those are all safety issues. 80% of injuries happen on playgrounds because people fall off the playground and they hurt themselves on the ground, you know what I mean? Which applies to everything that we have. So our pool needs to be safe. There's a ton of safety things that needs to happen. It has to be the top priority. As far as how the board interacts with the general manager and staff, I think that the board has one employee, and that employee is the general manager. And the board's responsibility is to kind of have the general manager and present their vision of what they think that this community needs to be. The general manager then directs staff to make that vision a reality. I think it would be inappropriate for the board to be directing individual staff members here and there outside of the general manager purview.
Okay. Thank you.
So I think it goes back. Is that correct?
It starts over here.
Starts here. Very good.
Okay. And this question, just as a distinction, it's very similar. So just consider that when you.
Shall we just skip that one then?
Nope.
Oh. Okay.
Nope. Good try.
Okay. So, Amber, how do you define the appropriate role of a board member, and how does the role differ from the responsibilities of the general manager? Do you want me to repeat that?
No.
Okay.
A board member, I believe, helps to be the voice of the community more so than the general manager. The general manager is an employee, and so the board helps to make the community heard and hears them. They help to just really, I think, be transparent with the community and fill the needs of the community members.
Thank you. Okay, Sean, how do you define the appropriate role of a board member?
JR.
Oh, no, yeah, it's JR.
Oh, did I get the order wrong?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're all the way over.
I wasn't going to say
that. All the way around.
All the way around. I was going to go across.
I see that.
Yeah. My apologies, JR. Okay, so JR, how do you define the appropriate role of a board member, and how does the role differ from the responsibilities of the general manager?
So never been a board member before. I don't know, or a general manager, but I think the board collectively has final say on action items that get presented to them. I think the discussion items are great to come to the board as well. I think the board's real impact is in those committee meetings. I think that's where you hash everything out, you get all of the weeds and how things operate and how things work, and you voice your opinion on why it's very important the way you feel that you feel, which is why you have different more board members on different committees. By the time it comes to a full board meeting, I think the goal of the board is to vote on the important items. I think that each committee will bring forth a recommendation to the board. But by the time it gets to the board as a full board, I think it should be more of a voting process than a discussion process. And that differs from the general manager, because I think the general manager is directing staff on a day-to-day basis. They're out there controlling who does what and why they do it and when they do it, and they're controlling hours, the day-to-day finances. I think the board controls the overall budget and has a say on approving a budget, but it's the general manager's job to then spend those monies appropriately and report back to the board on how those monies are being spent.
Thank you. Okay, Sean, how do you define the appropriate role of a board member, and how does the role differ from the responsibilities of the general manager?
Two amazing candidates have already kind of said what I want to say, but basically to kind of echo off of that, the board members themselves are basically the ones that have this vision, this idea of how the residents want Cameron Park to be. They do that through surveys, and they boil down the values and principles that are important to them, and then they go in and be a part of committee meetings, as was said, to make sure that these needs are met, be it for services, be it for, you know, safety, what have you, but they're there for that reason, to get these ideas, these shared ideas back I would say voted on or passed. As far as the difference between the board member and operations manager, it's also been said that the operations manager is a day-to-day kind of employee. He or she would be able to understand how things are run, kind of almost like in an actual kind of sense, like in a day-to-day, they would be able to potentially provide a report. They handle whatever budget that's been approved, and also try to meet that budget or at least get close to it And they also do, if I can put it this way, the board has the mission that they believe, and the operations manager is the way for them to actually get that mission done through any of the objectives that have been laid out. So that's it.
Thank you.
Just a clarification, we're going to get to ask other questions, right?
Yeah, so my thought was that when we get through these questions, we will run through the other questions until, say, a time limit, at which point we'll decide. Does that make sense?
Sure.
We just gave you some additional questions to ask. You don't have to ask those questions. If you have others, you can ask those. We just need to ask the same one as we go.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure.
Absolutely.
Ask the questions that.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So, I think it's back to you, JR.
Okay.
If the board is evenly split on a decision and you are the deciding vote, how would you approach evaluating the issue and making your decision?
Put my head in the sand and pretend like it didn't happen. No. I think you have to vote the way that you feel, regardless of the other way that the board members are voting. I think all of us come to the board with our own values and belief system of what makes the CSD a better place, and you got to stick to your guns regardless. So you're not really a deciding vote, you're just a vote. You know, your vote should be the same if it's the deciding vote or if it's the first vote. Did that answer that?
Yes.
Yes. All right.
All right, Sean, you want me to repeat it?
No, I'm good. So staying true to your values is important, but also understanding the needs of the residents. You may not like the vote, but if it's a vote that's needed, that will help the most amount of people without, you know, affecting the budget or harming anybody, I mean, that's what matters most. It's that we're serving the residents. So staying true to my values, yes, that's important, but I also need to make sure that my vote is actually what the residents want, not what I personally want.
Thank you.
Could you repeat it?
Absolutely. If the board is evenly split on a decision and you are the deciding vote, how would you approach evaluating the issue and making your determination?
Well, I've sat on a jury before, and so I think the best way to approach something like that would be, obviously, I would have my own feeling about it, right? And I would definitely go with how I feel, but I would also want to hear everybody on the board's feelings, or I would want to understand their point of view, because I would wonder if somebody is maybe thinking of whatever this is one way and somebody the other way. So I think that it would be important to discuss the matter further and see how it all kind of pans out.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so do you want to maybe give it till 8:30 and we can either ask our own questions or run through these, or do you want to make it a little
sooner? Let's do a little. Yeah. Let's go to 8:00.
Okay.
With questions,
right.
And then we turn it to the public for comment.
Okay.
Right? It'll be comment.
Yes.
Only.
Okay.
And then it comes back to us for deliberation.
Correct.
Open
yes.
session.
Yes,
all right. We will give it till 8:00. So I'm starting with Sean. How do you currently hear from Cameron Park residents? For example, do you regularly attend events with a regular civic group, or are you close to your neighbors?
I'd say both. So I go to Rotary meetings when I can. I'm the treasurer there, and it's on Thursdays at 12 here, at the, like actually right next door. But yeah, I've been absent the last couple of weeks because I just started a new job, but it's hybrid, so I'll be able to go back. So we do that, and there are also events outside of Rotary, but our Rotary supported that I do go to. As far as neighbors, I mean, I think I know pretty much every neighbor around me. It was a big event just last week. Our neighbor next door finally sold his home. It only took, I'd say, closing 4 times before it finally happened.
Yikes.
But it was a big event. We had all the neighbors come by and like, all right, let's look at what's going on. Because on the last day, the realtor, the buying one said, oh, there's all these issues. So had the whole neighborhood come by and like, okay, that one's not true, that one's not true. So at least my neighborhood, I live on Woodley Lane. I mean, I feel like we know each other because that's just how I think Cameron Park is in general. We all seem to know each other. And I've heard people say, like, stories like, 20 years ago this guy did this, and they remember that. And I love that about Cameron Park, is that, you know, there's all these stories, and I just want to at least hear them. But yeah, like, with neighbors, it's a beautiful thing being able to know my neighbor, but also be invited to their house, have, like, barbecues, and just wave at them. You know, you see them in the morning or in the evening. It's fantastic. So, I mean, I already do feel like I'm a part of this community. I've only been here 5 years, but I'm looking forward to spending the rest of my life here.
Thank you. Okay, Amber, how do you currently hear from Cameron Park residents, for example? Do you attend events with a particular group, or are you close with your neighbors?
We're close with our neighbors. We live on Knollwood, and a lot of our neighbors have lived there for a long, long time. And so that's definitely how we keep in touch. But I will say I have not been to a CSD meeting, and that's my bad. But I haven't really felt like I wanted to get involved until recently. Also, next door, I know that's probably not the most reliable way to stay on track with things, but definitely next door.
Okay, and JR, same question. How do you currently hear from Cameron Park residents? Do you regularly attend events with a particular group? Are you close with your neighbors, etc.?
Yeah, so I'm a single parent to a 17-year-old daughter. I've also raised my niece, but that means for the last 17 years, I've been to all the school functions and all the events and all everything that's happened in this town. I've been to it. In the last year, I think I've been to every medium to a full-size event. Before I was working them, I was volunteering around them. So if you came to the community cleanup day, I probably unloaded your car for you. And as far as my neighbors, I'm super close with my neighbors. I've moved different places around Cameron Park, but I'm a very, very social guy. I'm sorry, what was the rest of the question?
I think you answered it, actually.
Okay. that's my answer. And I was
like, super sticking to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm skipping around
the
board. Okay, so Amber, unlike the United States Congress, being able to agree to disagree, to compromise, and build consensus are all important parts of government. If I were to ask your neighbors, would they say that you possess these qualities?
I think so, because I bring them See's candy every Christmas. Yes, no, we text all the time, actually. My cat got out yesterday, and they were all very helpful in finding him. So, yes, we work together.
They better, because I'm collecting the mail right now while they're on the station, and I will put their trash can out for them if they do. Yeah, I think my neighbors would all say real nice things about me. I think the whole street would say nice things about me. And my mind, that expands out through the entire town, just running around saying nice things about me.
I'd like to think so. My neighbors, like, my next-door neighbor, Scott, he would definitely say that, because whenever there was an issue, he texted me, hey, something's going on, you know, can we fix this? Like, our fence blew down a few years ago, remember the big flood? And on both sides, actually, our fences went down.
You and me both.
It was a rough time for everyone in Cameron Park, I'm sure, with all the flooding and all that. But, yeah, I'd like to keep a positive relationship with my neighbors. I mean, the idea of basically loving or respecting your neighbor is super important to me, and I try to show that to anyone that lives around me, even if not my specific neighbor, even just someone that's around this area. They're still a neighbor, essentially, so I would hope eventually everyone would say that, you know, something positive about me. They don't have to say anything specific, but just in general, I do think I bring the positivity to everyone that I meet.
Are we restricted to these questions?
No, not at all.
Okay, no. Okay, now I'm trying to think, what is the best random way to choose someone? So you were the last?
JR.
Yeah, it went JR. Okay, maybe I'll do the reverse.
No, it's JR.
JR.
JR then.
Yes.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Okay, are you familiar with the Brown Act, and what are some of the limitations that might affect you as a board member?
So I'm very familiar with the Brown Act. I've had Brown Act training for the last decade, being a management staff with a public entity. And what was the second part of that?
How it might impact you as a board member.
I think you have to follow it, so I don't think it would impact me at all. I know the three of us can't get together and discuss anything or send emails that might affect everybody else. We create a serial meeting. I think the main thing is just not discussing district business. outside of board meetings, especially collectively as a staff, I think to stay safe, not just running around talking with each other about it. You know what I mean? Every committee's with two board members for a reason, because as soon as you bring a third, it's a Brown Act violation. So I think as long as you keep district business to district appropriate meetings, you're fine, and just stick to that.
Sean? I'm not as familiar as JR. I'm happy to say that, you know, that's something that I would have to look into. But as far as what I would provide, essentially, is transparency. So if there's any particular problem or anything like that, I'd make it clear. And I do follow the rules. I mean, as a CPA by trade, I have to be strict and follow the book. I cannot go beyond that. So I put my name on the line whenever I sign a tax return. I put my name on the line if I'm on the board. I'd be following that, the Brown Act, essentially. But I would need to get some actual training before I could say that I'm competent enough and confident enough to talk about it more openly than this.
That's one of the requirements. You will get trained.
Yeah.
Would you please go over what the Brown Act is? Because I am not familiar with it.
It's a rule that affects a law that's related to elected officials.
Okay.
The communication
the packet that I received. Yes, absolutely. I think I would 100% follow that. That's just a rule. I mean, I was on PTA, like I said. I had to follow the bylaws for us, go by the minutes, you know, all of those things. So, yes, I would absolutely follow the Brown. Okay.
All right, I think we're back to Amber again.
Okay.
So, in your opinion, what is the single most important issue facing our district?
I think the single most important issue facing the district would be to keep our citizens safe and protect them from fire, I would assume. I think that that's probably our main concern in this area, and supporting our fire departments. Yeah, keeping our citizens safe. That's me.
Thank you.
I would say the most important thing is actually continuing to provide the needed services within Cameron Park, and that would be supported by having a stable and balanced budget.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to piggyback on the safety thing. I think safety has to be your top priority, and I think that carries across the entire district, not just fire, Parks and Rec as well. But fire, obviously, lives on the line, and Parks and Rec are dear to my heart, but I understand that fire is going to be our top priority. And how we divvy up those safeties, will be a lot of discussion items, but safety is definitely the top priority in the district.
Thank you.
Okay, and we're back to JR, I think.
I think I just did the last
one. Serious one, so the next one down.
All right. I'm going to give you a scenario. You get a board packet, and maybe it's a contract or a resolution or something, and you know, you do your homework, you read through it, and you think you understand it, and you kind of come in with what you think you want to do with that, and then you hear from the other board members a whole lot of other points that you hadn't thought of. You hear a whole bunch of stuff from the audience, you know, that completely disagrees with the perspective that you have. What do you do?
Well, I think one thing about being on the board is being able to hear the commentary from the residents. So just having my perspective and my understanding, especially if it's something I'm not familiar with, I can't assume I know everything. I believe that, I don't know what the name is, but there's like this type of curve, essentially, where it's like you start out, you think you know everything, you get to the top, oh, I know everything, but no, actually you don't, and then you kind of go down, where you're at the bottom, where it's actually, you don't know what you don't know. So, what I'm trying to say is that I would be open to the perspectives of the residents and the board members, take that into account, and realistically, if we're not able to make a vote that day, I would have to go back and do more research. But that's under the assumption that I didn't do, you know, a good amount of research, because that is one of the big things I do in my professional experience is do tax research. So that's a lot of, you know, like actual tax law and court cases. So I would be able to do that pretty confidently.
Thank you. Okay, do you need me to repeat that?
Would you mind? I'm sorry.
Yeah, so you have a scenario where you get a board packet and it has a probably a very large document, a contract or something, and you read it all, you maybe talk to the general manager, you clarify, you think you understand it, you come in with an opinion, and then when the board speaks and when the public speaks, you get a whole lot of things you either hadn't thought of, contrary opinions, or whatever. How do you deal with that?
Well, I will never consider myself done learning. And so I definitely would want to hear everybody's opinions, facts, reasoning, why they feel the way they do. I would hopefully have time to look it over again, but I would hope that I would have a gist of exactly what is at hand. I think just talking it over with the other board members and the general manager and just coming to a conclusion together would be the best way to approach that. I think more minds are better than one.
My opinion can absolutely be swayed given the enough facts and information suggesting that I'm wrong. I'm wrong about a lot of things. You can just ask my daughter. But every day I make decisions, and every day staff has to carry out my decisions, and every day I'll be presented with an alternative way of doing things, and you know, 8 times out of 10, I will go with the way the staff thinks they're going to do them because they're the expert in those fields. If it's something I'm super passionate about, it's going to be harder to change my opinion. But if it's something that I'm not an expert in and I hear factual information that kind of makes me think otherwise, I would vote in the other direction than the way I originally showed up to the meeting intending to vote.
Thank you.
Your turn. Did Amber again?
Yeah. Probably.
So the district has to balance capital improvements and capital replacement, new improvements, facility maintenance, as well as our programs. What principles would guide you in prioritization and including prioritizing one large project versus many small projects?
I think it would have to be what is needed most with the community. If it's a safety problem or a safety thing that needs to be fixed, I think that should take precedent over everything else. But if it's not, then I would definitely want to try to split that up in the best ways to give access to funds to as many things as we could.
I think this is a huge problem for us because I don't think we've done a lot of capital improvement projects over the last couple of years. The way that they are presented is they get brought from different places, right? So we have a facility or Parks and Rec committee that probably brings ideas that needs to happen. Staff probably brings ideas that needs to happen with an asset reserve, something like that. There's a master plan that probably identifies all kinds of projects that are supposed to happen here at the district. And I believe we have a Browning Reserve study that very specifically says replace these capital improvement things at these specific years, and I want to say we are a decade behind on those improvements. Everything has a life expectancy, and we are running on borrowed time right now, and that's because of finances, and it's a tough position to be in. It's a real tough position to be in. In a perfect world, you're able to just knock those out. You start with safety, and you work way down to fund. Where I'm at right now, we have a Citizens Oversight Committee, and that committee kind of decides where $600,000 worth of project to put every single year, and it's my job to persuade them that not everything has to be a fun new playground. We have to replace HVAC units. We got to put in surveillance systems. We need to keep up with technology, or we just fall behind. We need to invest in assets that have a purpose that maybe the public doesn't see, but is very important to the district, like a locking fob system, so that when somebody gets let go from the district, they don't just have keys out there and they can break into our facilities and steal our things at any time. So there's a lot of nuances and a lot of factors that come into building that capital improvement plan. And I just think we are in a real tough position because I don't know if we're able to implement a capital improvement plan the way that we should be doing it.
Yes, please.
Okay, so facility maintenance, capital improvements, new improvements, all of our programs, there's a limited amount of resources. How would you prioritize, would you prioritize one large project over several smaller?
think one thing that probably is done is a needs assessment to see where our actual exposures are. If we're going with capital improvements, as was said, if there's much need for it, it's probably already been mentioned before in other meetings, or it's in the they're in the notes, but essentially in the financial statements. There are some discussions about that. As far as how it would decide, again, it would be what would, benefit the most people. If it's a safety concern, that would actually be the priority, essentially. We don't want anyone to get injured during, using any of the facilities here in Cameron Park. But beyond that, if it's something that's more, not as much of an emergency, essentially, I would try to find a way to be able to affect the most, accounts as possible, if you can say it that way.
Thank you. So I'm going to give you another scenario. We rotate the president and the vice president so that if you became one of the board members and were elected, you're likely at one point in time you will become a board president or vice president. We've had some controversial issues here in our community, and a lot of people come with a lot of passion, you might even say some anger. Some of those you may or may not be familiar with. We had one issue about closing one of our fire stations that brought up hundreds of people. We had one about closing pickleball at Cameron Park Lake. We had one about closing the skateboard ramp, whatever park, whatever that is called. And those brought up an awful lot of people with one point of view and certainly a very singular focus. Can you imagine how would you approach that angry, unhappy people that are singularly focused on their point of view as a board member when you're going to have to make the ultimate decision? So
it's JR's turn.
JR, then, okay?
Oh, I thought this was an extension question.
That's it.
you're
the presiding officer with this very unhappy, large crowd of people there. And how are you about your presiding and how are you?
That doesn't
sound
like a good time at all. I've seen that happen. Yeah, I've been that guy, so I apologize. I've been that. That's why Paul Ryan Park is named Paul Ryan Park and not Hacienda Park, because I rounded up 100 people and we all changed the name of the park. So it's important for a board to hear the residents, because if that much passion is coming to the board, there's a reason behind it, right? There's a reason that many people feel that way. And if your opinion is different than them, that's okay. But you still have to give weight to the amount of people that are taking time out of their day to show up to a meeting to express their point of view. And I think the most important part, and what most people want, is to just feel heard. You know what I mean? You can vote however you want to vote, make decisions however you want to make the decisions. But I think empathy is an important part in calming a group of aggressive people down. And compromise is a part of everyday life, and it's a part of the board as well. You know, there's a compromise in everything. A wise man once told me, we don't have problems, we have opportunities. So if 100 people show up angry as can be, there's probably something that you're not understanding that they feel a certain way that they feel. So that is an opportunity to gain that knowledge and to understand why they feel a certain way, and for you then to express your opinion and your point of view while making them heard about theirs and making them know that they didn't waste their time by coming to a meeting, that they were heard. And if it doesn't go the way they wanted them to be, at least they can say they showed up and they fought the fight.
Thank you. So then is it back to Sean?
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, if there are so many people that are passionate about something, it does require active listening, being able to understand their point of view and being able to just understand, but also see if there's anything that we've missed. Because, we can be looking at only one side of the coin when realistically there's a whole other side. So being able to understand why the residents are feeling that way is super important, because as JR said, feeling heard is important. That's why people come to the board meetings, to express their contentment or disdain about stuff that's happening around here. So being open to the fact that residents may not feel a certain way that the board does is important, because, we're all human and we're all here just one time, so being able to make sure everyone is as happy and having a great life here in Cameron Park is important.
So I've dealt with a lot of angry people in my time as COO at Marabu Salon, unfortunately, clients, because we had all employees there. So we had over 100 employees, so you can imagine sometimes there's complaints. And that was my job, handling all of that. So it's not a fun job, but I have found that the best way to approach that is to let people tell you why they're upset and listen to them and really try to understand what they're saying. That being said, it's important to be transparent with them about why you might be deciding something a different way, and just letting them know the reason behind it. And if they understand the reason behind it, they might be more inclined to understand why it's happening.
Okay. Well, we are at 8, but I would like to give Tim another chance.
I'm good.
You sure?
Yep.
Okay, then we will start with JR, and please give us a closing statement.
Okay, I didn't prepare an opening statement, let alone a closing statement.
We want to see how you think about that.
That's right.
So just to piggyback on everything being said, I think we're all here because we think that we can bring value to this board. I think the value that I bring to this board is the institutional knowledge I have with the district. I think I was employed with Cameron Park CSD longer than any employee you have right now with the district by far, probably. I was here when we built this building. I know nooks and crannies of this place that probably nobody else does, you know what I mean? So just having that institutional knowledge and be able to provide that to the general manager and let him make decisions with that knowledge as he or she wants to, I think brings a ton of value in those one-on-ones and at the committee meetings. I mentioned I've lived here for 38 years. That's got to count for something, you know what I mean? So I do know a lot of the community. I coach Little League. I coach soccer. I've been to all the school functions and all the events here. I was at the very first Summer Spectacular, and I think that event really says a lot about our little community, because not too many communities come together the way that ours does for that event. And I've worked at a lot of other events for a lot of other communities. And so I want to leave with institutional knowledge. I will give all that I have of that knowledge to the district as my term on the board.
Thank you. Sean, some closing words?
Well, I just first want to say thank you for considering me and the two candidates to either side of me. Fantastic people. I'm sure whatever decision you guys make is going to be the right one. What I bring to the board is just, you know, financial mind, being able to see things a little differently. I do have a lot of, revenue planning experience in my time at Ernst & Young especially, and in a couple of my previous roles, but that was the main one. I don't have that level of experience that JR has, that institutional knowledge, but I do bring curiosity and the drive to learn more, to always better myself, and I promise to bring that to the board and be able to always have an open ear for anyone that's willing to talk to me about any issue, be it here at the board or just, you know, if they see me on the sidewalk and they want to chat with me, be happy to do so. Thank you.
Okay.
My closing statement. I guess I love Cameron Park and I want to continue to make it a special place to live. I can see it becoming something so great. The people here are by far the best around, obviously, because they're in our community. But I remember when I moved here 11 years ago, I was like, you know what, Cameron Park, like, it's so quaint and special that this is where I want to be, like, for the rest of my life. I don't want to move. This is where I'm staying. This is where my kids are, you know. This is a very wonderful place, and that's kind of it. I don't have the experience that these two have, but I do have other experience, and if that's something you're looking for, I'm happy to share that with you.
Thank you. Okay, so it is now time for public comment. Do we have members of the comment who would like to weigh in on the candidates and what we just heard? Anybody? Yes.
Hi, Vicki Jacobs, Cameron Park. First of all, I'm excited that there are three people who want this job. Because it's not an easy job. you will learn a tremendous amount by serving on the board. I've been coming to these meetings, the board meeting, for 2.5 years now. I think I missed one. I encourage you, whichever the two of you are not chosen, please start coming to the meetings. Because, first of all, we have a nice kind of small group of mighty people who regularly attend and watch what's going on and comment about what we think would be best for the district and for Cameron Park in general. But also I think it's just a way to learn an immense amount of knowledge about how districts are run. I'm a lawyer. I had no clue. And I'm still learning so much all the time. Just learning about how fire runs is like a whole separate education degree in and of itself. So thank you for coming. It's exciting that there are three people who are committed to staying in Cameron Park who want the position. That having been said, I know JR. So I'm going to throw my small but mighty weight behind JR just because I do think he has a lot of experience to bring to this district and obviously a lot of institutional knowledge. And I know he's the type of person that works well with everybody. And not that you guys don't, but I know that he has that ability. And he has, obviously, as everybody's comments, sort of like remarkable energy. So that's who I would personally request that the board consider for the position. But I'm excited that we have options. Thank you, Vicki.
Yes, Barbara.
Barbara Rutherford, Cameron Park. I want to thank everybody that came tonight. I've been in their shoes before. It takes a lot of courage to step up for your community. As Vicki said, I urge you, people need to come to our meetings. We are the three constant here.
And there's a few more. I've been
doing this for a really long time, since 2003. I know JR. I am also going to put my support behind JR. We are going through a lot of change and transition here in the district. JR grew up here. He worked here. He is in the business. He also stepped up to help us bring the Summer Spectacular back and working with the staff to help bring it back what it was. He has the expertise that I believe this district needs, especially in light of a new general manager being in place. I think he was going to be a fabulous addition to the board to help the transition of our new manager, Mark. And I think he is going to bring what we need with our parks and what direction we need to go into and how we make this community center successful, as well as being a great partner to our fire partners. So nothing against anybody here tonight, but JR also stepped up and came to work here after his regular job to help us with some projects, and I would very much like to see JR get appointed to the board. He's what we need. Thank you.
Any other public comment? Yes.
Eric Hastings, Cameron Park. I will echo what we said to the candidates here tonight. Thank you so much. It is really encouraging to see more than one person here. not just that, but articulate, intelligent, capable people. All three demonstrated that very clearly. And having sat on that exact same seat 9 years ago, looking for an appointment, I understand exactly what you're going through. So thank you, number one. Number two, I want to take a slightly different approach in requesting the board. This is to fill an unexpired term. And so I think the board's first priority is to put in the person who can most quickly